the last, we'll be the first. What a day, I'm telling you.
This is Jimmy and Annette, and we are coming to you live from the Living Up in a Down World studio.
You said it right.
I said it right. LivingUpInADownWorld.com.
We're not live, though.
Well, we're not technically live. We're alive right
we're
now.
We're alive. Well, barely. We've had a rough weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we've had a busy weekend.
Busy weekend. Great weekend, actually, but it's very early right now, and I have my deep morning voice.
You have... Are you on your second or third cup?
No, this is my, I'm just starting my second cup
okay,
of
well, me too.
Black Rifle coffee.
And you're like, we're doing this now.
I know. Well, because we had a little faux pas this morning because you didn't look at your phone to go pick up Faith.
Okay.
And I was already at the church.
I didn't know I was supposed to pick up Faith.
All that, you know, so we were running and gunning.
No, I had a low tire. And when you're driving and you see low tire as a female, okay, that's like fear. Comes into me like, wait, what if we have?
No.
So what I had to do is I held on to the steering wheel because I thought if something were to happen, I need to have my hands tightly gripped.
Bless your little old heart.
Well, I've seen people that just go out of control because we're on a highway driving in. So luckily, it was just 1 pound
no
low.
Big deal.
But you never know because we got a rental car. What last year? And we started to get in it, and we saw a flat tire, which they should have caught that. Hello. It was literal. So that was going through my mind. So I'm thinking, okay.
You're like,
so I didn't look at my phone to, because you know why?
Why?
Because I'm a careful defensive driver. I know you're laughing.
Gosh.
I am.
Wow.
I'm trying to be aware of my surroundings.
A law-abiding
citizen. Just aware of my surroundings because too many accidents on our big highway that we have to drive every day.
All of that to say, we were going to come in and go, okay, we got 30 minutes. We're going to record.
Okay, we have 30
meeting,
minutes.
And then it was like, oh, somebody's got to go pick up Faith. Oh, I'll do it. Oh, take my car.
Well, thank you. I was able
to
get some stuff done.
So anyway,
You're funny.
That was our morning. Craziness.
We're here,
and I am pumped up. I'm so excited about what God's up to. Revival is not coming. Revival is here. We're seeing God move on so many levels, not just in our church, but in people all around us and other situations and scenarios, even across the United States, across the world. Aslan, as C.S. Lewis writes,
is on the move.
And we're moving with him. That's what's exciting about being a follower of Jesus, is that you actually get on board with him. We don't generate the waves. We just catch them as they come by, so to speak. So it's not like you're gritting your teeth and trying harder. It's literally you're just getting in. You're joining God in his work. Henry T. Blackaby from the great study, Experiencing God, says that we watch to see where God's working. And when you do see the activity of God, it's his invitation to join him in his work. And so you realign yourself with him and you join him in his work. That's how simple it is to know the will of God.
Well, and I love that, you know, we have redefined revival because in the past, revival's always been, you know, you have these revival services and then you hope people are revived and they are for the moment, but it doesn't last. And what we are seeing is people are reviving their heart individually, and then it becomes collective. And so we're seeing people that were nominal Christians, very complacent, on fire all of a sudden, and just saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes now. And I think
it's exciting.
You look at our world and you have one of two choices. You either join the world and you be in fear and you be in constant stress, or you say, you know what? What about Jesus? What can he do? And what can he do for me? And what can I do for him? And that, it's changing people's lives.
I love that because what it does, it actually rises above. It goes above and beyond what's going on in the current circumstance.
Right.
Like whatever the political, whichever way the political winds are blowing, and my gosh, they're swirling right now.
2 weeks from
yesterday. Are we 2 weeks out?
No, 3 weeks from yesterday.
Three weeks from yesterday.
So 2 weeks from Tuesday.
pivotal election for the United States and for our friends that are in all other nations and other places. Pray for us. Pray for America. America really is the last bastion of freedom. And if we lose this, that a lot of those freedoms are going to go away. And where will people go? Where do you go if you desire freedom? You desire free enterprise.
I don't even know.
You desire the ability to own your own car and your own property. If that all goes away, where does anyone go? People aren't trying to get in and out of Russia right now. They're not trying to cross the border into Russia or into
Mexico,
Ukraine or
Cuba.
Brazil. I mean, they are trying to get into America. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our border situation's pretty dire right now. But anyway,
touching a book.
Yeah. This is Kirk Cameron's book. So I'll switch gears for a sec. Kirk Cameron just released a book called Born to be Brave. And
what does it mean?
Well, he says this. He actually uses the Lion King story, you know, where Mufasa, you know, the father, you know, the lion, the great lion, has a son, and his son actually ends up going off to another place and is raised apart from a kingdom that's in war, and there's an evil. There's an evil, villain lion that's trying to fight to
Sounds
win.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, it's very, very parallel to the gospel story
sure
in the Bible.
Well,
so
C.S. Lewis, hello.
The key thing is that Simba, the young lion, he doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't even know that he's the son of a king and that he's actually an heir to a kingdom. But he doesn't know it until a prophetic monkey comes along. I say prophetic. Kirk Cameron says the monkey figure is kind of like a prophet. He comes and says, "You don't know who you are, do you?"
Well, that sounds like Toy Story.
It does. It sounds like a lot of stories. It's a story arc. It's a familiar story arc and narrative. But I love the way Kirk minds that out. It was just such a reminder as I was reading chapter one this morning of how we sometimes forget that we're the son of a king. We're the daughter of a king. We're the children of a king. We're king's kids. It was such a reminder. So Born to be Brave, he uses that story to say, this young lion was actually born to be a king, born to be brave.
So it's time for us to step up.
Absolutely. As followers of Jesus, when we begin to understand our true identity, we are born to be brave. And what a time to be brave, right? In a time when our freedoms are being threatened. As Christians in America, we're being marginalized. Many times we've marginalized ourselves. Mm-hmm. We've pulled ourselves out of the public square, to use your favorite word. Capitulated. We've capitulated and given over to the enemy and just said, oh, you know what? We're just going to go over here and have our little Bible studies. We're going to go over here and have our church.
And keep everything
and
to ourselves.
And do our stuff. And you do your stuff. And
get
we'll
fat
ours.
As a tick.
Wow.
I know. You used to give that illustration a lot.
I know.
And what happens, though?
Country boy.
What happens with a tick?
They blow up. Yeah, it's a bloody mess.
It is. It is.
But that's what happens with Christians. We marginalize ourselves. We take ourselves out of the public square. We're no longer involved. You know what this sounds like? Hitler told one of the top pastors in Germany right before he became chancellor. He was saying, hey, you Christians, go over there. I'll go over here.
Just keep to yourself.
We're going
to
let you be.
Yeah.
We're not going to mess with you. We're glad you're here. And then it all changed afterwards. And when that pastor came back to talk with Hitler after he became chancellor and the Third Reich came into power and began to dominate Germany and then begin to take in other countries, he sat down with him and Hitler said, who do you think you are? I mean, he just flipped.
It
was a total lie.
Yeah.
Total lie.
Well, obviously, Hitler was mentally ill, but he also knew what he was doing because he planned it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's...
All that to say, the church lost their voice. They capitulated because he said, if you'll stay over there and run in your lane, we'll stay over here and run in our lane. We don't mind each other's business.
Which reminds me of the movie. Well, the movie... I don't know if you call it a movie. We watched Corrie Ten Boom.
Oh, the
it was
play.
Kind of a play adapted for the screen.
Oh,
it was a play
amazing.
Adapted for the screen. The person who played Corrie Ten Boom was on Alan Jackson's podcast.
Fantastic
and
podcast.
We were started to watch the podcast when she
Man
was talking.
Girly.
Yes, she was talking about her role and what it meant to her to play Corrie Ten Boom. If you don't know who that is, go online and read her story.
Well, the short version is that.
Well, wait. Let me say this first. But we were so enamored by the things she was saying at the beginning of this podcast. She did make a statement that there was you could get it on streaming, the actual play, and so we watched that
it
on
phenomenal.
Apple TV the other night, and we were both just crying. And and then we finished the podcast because we wanted to see what she was talking
watching
about.
Watching the podcast,
it was
when
so
Nan
good.
Switched into her Danish voice,
yes,
and quoted Corrie Ten Boom.
So now
in
talk
that
about
voice.
That. Talk about what who she is and what she did.
Well, Corrie Ten Boom, she was a watchmaker. Her dad, she came from a long line of watchmakers. Her family ran a watch store
in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm. And for 100 years. And so her father was aged. You know, he was 80 in his 80s. And what happened was when the Third Reich, Hitler, invaded the Netherlands in, 1930, I believe it was, when that happened, or the 30s, when that happened, their whole life changed. And as followers of Jesus, they felt like we have a responsibility to take care of the Jewish people who are being persecuted.
They loved
people, and they loved God's people.
Yes.
And they created what they called The Hiding Place. And it was a false
there
wall.
There is a movie from 1975 called The Hiding Place. Well, you can actually rent
wrote,
it.
Her autobiography is called The Hiding Place.
Yes.
It's a famous book. Yes. Great book. Tells
now
her
I want to go back
story.
And watch
I wanna
that.
I want to go read the book, actually, her original book. So her family housed Jewish people who were being chased down by the Gestapo, by the Third Reich police, trying to eliminate and eradicate, and they were taking them off to these horrific places,
camps.
And that's a nice name for them. They were death camps.
What was remarkable is they hid over 800 Jews in a 2-year period. In their little house.
The room that they were hiding them in, so like they always had hosted people. So their home and their shop, which was connected to their home, was a revolving door. So it wasn't unusual to see people coming and going at their household.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Ten Boom household.
T-E-N-B-O-O-M. Yeah, two words.
Boom.
It's kind of an odd.
Interesting name. So the Gestapo didn't think that much about it because it was just typical. But turns out they were Jewish people that they were housing.
And they called them watches.
Yeah, yeah.
Are the watches here? When are the watches coming?
Or they'd get a phone call and it'd be, I have some unusual watches for you. Mm-hmm. She'd say, we'll send them on over. And so that's how they did
this. Her brother would take them
to another safe house.
To another safe house.
To try to get them out of the country.
Yes.
And to safety. Over 800 were saved.
What
a remarkable story. But to hear Nan Gurley talk about playing her, she studied her since she was a teenager.
Since she was 20s, she said.
Yeah, and Nan's probably in her 50s, 60s, probably, I'd say 60s right now.
Probably.
But played her in this play. She's an actress.
Phenomenal.
And it's powerful. So we highly recommend you rent it. Right now, I think the only place you can get
Apple
the movie
TV.
Is Apple TV.
It's $14.99.
We don't even have Apple TV, but we got the trial.
I did the 90-day trial
just so
we could watch it.
And it was powerful. And so we encourage you to do that. Also, you can go to the Alan Jackson's podcast, Culture and Christianity, and it's Nan Gurley. And
that gives you the short version.
Oh,
but
my gosh. So
nevertheless,
powerful.
It's just as powerful and
beautiful.
But I would encourage you to watch the movie because it's so enlightening and it was so well done. We were both looking at each other going, man, because this is a play. It's like going and sitting and watching a Broadway play, but adapted for the screen. And it was just beautiful. And it was so moving. Like I said, we both cried and cried at the end. And it was powerful. I would definitely encourage you.
And Pastor Alan Jackson were talking about suffering and adversity and pain and how
we don't have any
idea. Christians, we've had it so convenient and so easy for so long, so comfortable that we're shocked when something's not comfortable. We're shocked when something doesn't work right. Mm-hmm. The electricity goes off for an extended period of time. We don't know what to do. Internet goes down. Oh my gosh, shuts the whole world down. So she was talking about adversity and trials and how that's all these people do. So Corrie Ten Boom, Corrie and her sister Betsy, well, the whole family got taken into a death camp.
The dad died after 10 days of being in that death camp. The sister died after 9 months, and then 10 days later, Corrie
was released.
Was released
because of a clerical error.
I'm like, what she did afterwards mm-hmm. was, I don't even think we want to tell everything that she did
because
you want people to.
But I will say she went around the world for the rest of her life telling the stories mm-hmm. and talking to people and the Christians about faith mm-hmm. and about the cost of discipleship, the cost of faith, and being willing to stand and trust God.
And she died in, I think, 1983 at the age of 91 is
remarkable, remarkable woman, Danish woman, tough. Mm-hmm. Tough as a boot, kind of, but she was strong and led many, 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 many people
to Jesus. What's so scary, Jimmy, is that if we keep going as a nation, as we're going, we could end up in similar circumstances because of Marxism coming in. And it might not look the same, but it will feel the same. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And it's scary to think that it could happen. I mean, that happened, you know.
In a neutral country,
yes.
They declared neutrality. We're not in this thing. Mm-hmm. And the Third Reich, Hitler came in and took them over mm-hmm. and began to deport all, because they were doing what they called the final solution, which was to get rid of all the Jewish people. They were trying to literally
They want to eradicate Christians.
Oh, no doubt. I mean,
it's so obvious.
Many things
they
are
want to take
against
us out.
Believers. And you know what? What I love, though, when you come against the Church of God and the Church of Jesus Christ, the church gets stronger. Mm-hmm. People begin to rise up. Now, people fall away because maybe they weren't even real Christians to begin with.
Right.
They probably weren't all in. Maybe they weren't operating out of a second birth.
They preferred
bravery.
The world to God's way.
Exactly. And so they give up. They give in mm-hmm. to the demands. But what I'm seeing right now is Christians stepping up and standing up. There's a move of God. I was talking to a friend yesterday who said there is a move of God right now around the world. Mm-hmm. And it is shocking almost. Talked to our international bishop friend, Dr. Bill, and the Bishop Bill, the good reverend doctor. He's got so many titles, it's unbelievable. He's raising up leaders to be pastors in unreached and dangerous places. That's all I'm going to say about it. And he reached out yesterday. We were talking, and he said, God is moving all over the mm-hmm. world right now. We are in revival. History will look back on this period of time, and they may report on the political scene. They may report on what's going on with NATO and all over the world and Ukraine and Russia and China and North Korea. But at the end of the day, there's going to be stories come out of heroes and heroines who stood for Jesus Christ in the face of persecution mm-hmm. and trials, and they stood their ground. They were born to be mm-hmm. brave, in the
right.
words of Kirk Cameron.
Right.
I recommend that book, by the way. I'm getting a lot out
of it. You're carrying it everywhere you go, aren't
I know.
You?
I've got it sitting right here in front of me because I can't put the book down. It's one
wow.
of those that grips
Which
your
is
heart.
So unusual because you've never been really a Kirk Cameron fan. I was
Not
when
in the
I
past.
Watched
I just
Growing
know
Pains.
I didn't know anything about
he
him.
He has, well, I think when he was with Ray Comfort, he had a little different bent in his speaking, and so it was very harsh, but now it's mm-hmm. you can see it's bravery
yeah.
is what it is.
No
it's,
doubt.
It's like we've changed. And now we understand where he comes from because of what we are seeing in the world.
He caught my attention. I started listening to his podcast, American Revival podcast, and he's doing like I think a couple of times a week leading up to the election, he's doing these little fireside chats. He's got one of his pastors on with him right now. It's been really good. But what it caught my attention when he said this: what if the present cultural setback is really a divine setup for a spiritual comeback led by the family of faith? Mm-hmm. Well, those are words I've used. It's a phrase I've used for years.
For about 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes what looks like a setback is actually a setup for a comeback. Mm-hmm. And I've said that for years and years. So he caught my attention with that. I actually want to ask him, and probably reach out to him through Rick Green and say, where did you get that? Because I'm curious if we got it from the same place. But listen to this. He says that maybe things that today are making us disgusted about our society aren't merely the way it is, an unfixable brokenness created by people's poor choices. Maybe God has secretly been at work within our cultural turmoil, embedding an opportunity few can see. It's not about one political philosophy prevailing over another, because if that were so, a political party would be all that's needed to bring about change. Instead, this is, here's that word again, an opportunity custom made for the family of God and dependent on the miracle power of God, a renewal that's potentially bigger than any ever witnessed in our lifetime, transforming not just hearts, but the entire culture, might be nearer than we've ever considered possible. This could be the family of faith's finest hour.
Wow.
I keep hearing this from spiritual leaders. Steve Maxwell and others have said, this is our finest hour. This is our time to shine.
But we have to step up
and
shine.
Brave.
Yep, we have to be brave.
We have to be brave. We have to be willing to stand up.
Speaking of bravery, Sunday morning service.
Okay.
I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but I think you need to talk about where you got your message from and why it was important to give it this weekend.
Well, I was inspired to do it because Pastor Paul Blair out of Oklahoma reached out to a bunch of guys. We're called Liberty Pastors, Black Robe Regiment, you know, Remnant Alliance. And so these are pastors who are stepping up in their pulpits and engaging the culture. It's not just politics.
No.
The only reason we're engaging politics is because we're not chasing politics. Politics are chasing us.
And we're in the middle of an election.
They've come to our front door.
Yes.
So we're just answering questions and dealing with what's going on.
That people are asking. Yes.
And when the political thing settles down and we get past the election, we'll continue to engage culture.
Mm-hmm.
It just may be at a different focus. But right now, that's the focus. He reached out to pastors and said, would you please take this Sunday? We're 3 weeks out from the election, a pivotal election.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take time this Sunday and speak to your congregations and challenge them to vote, to use their power, their voice? And so that's exactly what we did. And I preached a lesson, a message, called Vote Like Jesus. It's actually the title of a book by Pastor Mark Driscoll.
It's got to be. We haven't read the book, but
I didn't to read the book.
Well, and we didn't have to, but we also watched him preach this message.
Part of it.
And we were sold. Sold.
I borrowed from many sources actually to do this message. I mean, I literally listed out all these sources because there were so many people I drew this message from. For example, I'll just give you the list because it was Paul Blair, Mark Driscoll, Josh Howerton, Jack Hillegoss, David and Tim Barton, Alan Jackson, Rick Green, Jack Hibbs, and Greg Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
I used all pieces of, because I just took all these amazing statements and men, and I rolled them up into one service called Vote Like Jesus, and then challenged our church in the area of family, in the area of church, but also that God established government. God established the state to give mm-hmm. us boundaries and the rule of law, and I proved all that from Scripture, and it was just so important to challenge our people that you're not voting for a platform.
No.
No, you're not voting for an individual. Thank you. I'm sorry. My thoughts are getting ahead and I'm mm-hmm. rushing because of our time. But I challenged our people that forget Kamala Harris.
Forget
Donald Trump. You're voting for the platform that most aligns with a biblical worldview. You take what you believe about God's word, what it says about life.
Mm-hmm.
And birth,
right?
What it says about borders and boundaries,
mm-hmm.
what it says about our freedoms, what mm-hmm. it says about, you know, we've been born for freedom, and so in liberty, what it says about various issues, and then ask which platform most closely aligns with that.
And one, I know you wrote that on a blog yesterday, and someone responded, well, none of them do. Well, which one most aligns?
Exactly. And here's why I said that. A vote is not a Valentine.
Yes.
It's just not. A vote is not a Valentine.
It's not your favorite person.
You're not trying to woo a girl, you know, or woo a dude. I mean, you're not voting for the most popular. Mm-hmm. You're saying that this person happens to represent a platform. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean they have it all together. A ballot box is not a mailbox for you to send a message to Washington, D.C.
Well, and we need to know what the Bible says in order to know how to vote.
Exactly.
This is the problem.
That's more important than knowing the political scene.
It is, but this is the problem, is we are illiterate as Christians. And we're babies. The Bible says that we're babies, and we're drinking milk, and we need the meat of the word. And if you don't know what the Bible says about those issues, you won't know who to vote for, so you just won't vote at all.
That's right. If you don't know what the Bible says about, for example, things like pro-life or pro-death, pro-securing our borders or pro-open borders, pro-peace or pro-war, pro-freedom or pro-dependence on nations that hate us and want to take us out.
And the government controlling every area of our life.
Pro-parental rights or pro-child choice, who says at 11 years old, I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl.
And so my parents disagree, so I'm going to tell my counselor, and they're going to make sure that I start the process.
Waltz, Minnesota.
Yes.
Already has the right to take a child out of a home if the parents will not affirm their gender choice.
Now, I heard, and I may be wrong, that there are 17 states that are already in agreement with that. Is that right?
I don't remember how many. I thought it was 10, but I don't know that right number. So
but
I
that
can't.
Could easily become
way,
50 states.
That could be 50 states if a certain regime
if Waltz
holds power.
Yes, yes.
We're in trouble. And so I just want to say, prepare to vote. 30 to 40 million Christians stayed home in the 2020 election, and it's projected, and Barna did a study on this, and I shared all of that information, that it is projected that 30 plus million evangelical Christians will stay home again because of ambivalence, and they don't trust the system, and they don't like
either one.
But the problem is, when you don't vote, you're actually giving a vote to the other side of what you don't believe.
Right.
So by not showing up, you vacate your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And where there's a vacuum of leadership, mm-hmm. the enemy will always come in and fill that void.
Exactly.
He'll backfill our apathy, our laziness, mm-hmm. our misunderstanding of what it is. Do you know that when you cast a vote, you're not voting for a president? You're voting for a platform and 5,000 to 8,000 appointments that go along with that platform mm-hmm. that can tip the scales towards a more biblical worldview mm-hmm. or a more demonic worldview, a more Marxist worldview, mm-hmm. and you have to choose. So you're get out of your mindset that I'm voting for Donald Trump or I'm voting for Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that out of your. You're not voting for a personality. It's not a Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, your selection's not a sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a holy thing in terms of I'm taking communion and everything's got to be pure and ceremonially washed. Listen, there is. Unless Jesus is on the ballot
mm-hmm.
you will always vote for the lesser
of
two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And just get it in your mind. And when you accept that, you realize, okay, I'm going to participate in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't participate and you don't vote, forget complaining to mm-hmm. anybody about what's going on, because it's on you.
Yeah,
it's on your watch. Listen, I'll dismiss you if you need to roll.
I do. I have a bunch of women waiting on me.
Because I want to land the plane with some thanks, and I want to talk about Adam and Tina Curry. Tina just got back from a big, big trip and a big hiking trip up in Tennessee, and so they'll be talking about that. So have a great meeting. Love you. Talk to you later, baby girl. All right, it's just us right now. And I want to encourage you in something. We've got some dear friends, Adam and Tina Curry, and they've got a great podcast called Curry and the Keeper. Adam also does another podcast called No Agenda. I recommend both of those. No Agenda, especially right now, where they are doing media deconstruction, talking about the election, talking about what all's going on, and really just pulling apart all of the propaganda, all the media lies and stories and narratives, the cultural narratives. They do a great job of pulling those apart so you can see the truth between the lines, because it's not obvious. And so they do a great job of that, John Dvorak and Adam Curry. And speaking of thanks and people I want to thank, I've got some people I want to thank right now. First of all, and this has to do with a really nice comment that was made on Fountain from comic strip blogger on Curry and the Keeper's podcast. And he writes this: today I'd like to recommend a podcast that can be found at www.livingupinadownworld.com or by searching for Living Up in a Down World in a podcast apps by your fellow Jesus fans, Jimmy and Annette. Yo, CSB, that's comic strip blogger. Comic strip blogger, thank you for giving us a shout out. I was actually boosting Adam and Tina yesterday at Curry and the Keeper when I saw your comment, and really appreciate that. Also got some comments on last week's podcast called There's More to the Story. Adam Curry supercharging Tina's mini striper boost with 77,777 sats. That's a striper boost. He says, we love the full name, Living Up in a Down World. That was when Annette and I were going back and forth on, should we just call it Living Up? Because she really wanted to shorten it. And I'm like, no, I like Living Up in a Down World because it's descriptive. So Living Up in a Down World wins out. We will not change the name of the podcast. Thank you, Adam Curry. Also, we have a mini striper boost from Sir Brian with an I. He says, very powerful testimony from Dame Annette. Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for saying thanks, Sir Brian. We love you. And then the Keeper wrote another mini striper boost. She said, a reason, a season, and a lifetime. What a blessing you two are to me and Adam. Love you lots. We love you too, Keeper, Miss Tina. By the way, that was a comment that I made. Mike Smith, who's the producer of Out of Shadows and Into the Light, two great documentaries I highly recommend you watch. We had he and his wife, Wendy, as a guest at our church, and man, they just did a great job, knocked it out of the park. But he and I were on the phone the next day just talking, catching up, and he said, you know what? He said, I can't even remember the context of the conversation. We were talking about God, the world, and other things. And he said this: people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And sometimes you got to just put people in those categories, because sometimes they don't stay, and you wonder, I thought we were going to do life together for the rest of our lives. Well, it might have just been a reason. And value the reason that they were in your life, and don't despair because they're not there now. Same way with the season. But then there are those few that come along, and they come along for a lifetime. You know, lifers are the kind when you cannot talk for 4 years, you get on the phone, and it was literally like yesterday. So anyway, big kudos out to Mike Smith for that. Adam Curry also, he says, we love the full name. And then he wrote, Green Bubble Fail. Love it, Adam. And then Keeper, another mini striper boost from the Keeper. Very many, 777 sets. Many striper boosts, so Annette knows I listen to the show. That's hysterical. We love those guys. We're looking forward. Man, we got to have some time with them last week. Actually, me and Adam did a bro date last week, and it was amazing. We went and ate at one of our favorite places called Friedhelm's. Here, it's a Bavarian restaurant, and it's just one of our go-tos. It's old school. It's like stepping back in a time capsule. And one of the things I love about being in Fredericksburg, small town America, Texas. And so we had a great time together. And again, when Adam and I get together, it is God first, the world, and other things. That's how it goes in that order. So really enjoyed my time. Well, listen, we love you guys. So thankful for you. Thankful for you being with us. And we love you. Go to livingupinadownworld.com. Leave a comment. Write us a note, a prayer request. Sign up for our newsletter that goes out, just to give you a heads up when our next podcast is. And we are out of here. Have an amazing day on purpose, and keep living up in a down world.